Well, how would you say is faith activated in a person's life? How does one grow in the faith? How does a person become established in the faith? How does one move on in the faith? This morning I want to pick up with a single verse. It's actually a verse that I ended up with the last time that I was preaching, from Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The scripture passage is this, Romans 10, 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Would you say that with me? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, what I would like to do this morning is to really highlight the first part of that, and then the second part of it, and then the third part of it. So I'm going to try to enunciate or to circle or to highlight faith, and then we're going to go on to the second part, and we're going to highlight and call to our attention the matter of hearing, and then we're going to highlight and enunciate the entire thing of by the word of God. Got it? So let's start with highlighting the word faith. Our text says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is faith? Well, it's actually defined in the scripture. Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 3 says now that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Faith, by its definition, involves the conviction of religious truth. It involves the conviction of truth. Now, regarding the origin of the universe, faith is believing that things took place exactly the way they are recorded for us or described to us in Genesis chapter 1. How did the world as we know it come into being? Well, God spoke. Talk about the word of God. God spoke and the world came into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And so we read how that God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. So faith, for one thing, is having the conviction that God spoke things into existence. He made the world as we know it. He is creator, and thus we seek him, thus we worship him, and thus we answer to him. Now in Hebrews 11, verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now that goes beyond just believing in God as creator. It involves the conviction that God actually responds to those who look to him. He actively is responding to those who look to him. So we have a passage like this, for example. David in Psalm 37, verses 3 to 5 said, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Does that sound like a God that is so distant that you can't relate to him? Does that sound like a God that has no interest in what you're going through? Does that sound like a God that is too busy to be mindful of or concerned about the things that are of concern to you and I? No, not at all. That describes a God that has personal involvement in the lives of those who seek Him, who trust Him, who delight Him, delight in Him, and who commit their way to Him. It describes a God who wants to be in relationship with those who are created in His image. And that's all of us. So our text says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, in this context, it's talking about faith being activated in the lives of those that had never heard the gospel. It's talking about, in its context, about a person becoming alive in faith as they are exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation, and they then respond to Him. They respond to the Lord. For example, there's Stephen Drezen. Now, Stephen was raised in Russell County, Alabama. His home life was not one that encouraged the knowledge of God. In fact, he can't even remember going to church as a kid when he was growing up. As a high school student, he was tempted by some things, including drugs and alcohol. They began absorbing his life. As Stephen prepared for graduation, he was looking at options. He opted to enlist in the Navy. And then, the night of the graduation rehearsal, someone was passing out Gideon New Testaments. He wasn't really hep about taking one, but he nevertheless accepted it. Well, it was a good thing. Stephen got off drugs. And then he packed his bags and he went to boot camp. And while adjusting to his new life, Stephen decided to read the New Testament that he had received at that graduation rehearsal event. And that night, while in boot camp, he came across Psalm 32, verse 1, which says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And that words of, the words of Scripture penetrated his heart. And he recognized that he was a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. Stephen accepted Christ that night, and he came to know Jesus as his Savior and Lord. At some point, I'm not sure where along the line there, he ended up getting out of the Navy due to medical reasons, and he started he became actively involved in a church and began learning more about the Lord and the things of the Lord. He ended up going on some mission trips, like some of you are about to do. He ended up going to college and then to seminary, and then he became an associate pastor. By the way, you Gideon brothers keep on handing out those New Testaments. You never know when it's going to activate someone in the faith. It's just so exciting how that happens, how the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. But not only is faith activated through hearing the Word of God, but faith is expanded or it's increased in the very same way. You know, Stephen grew in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. It helped him to further know about the Lord. It helped him to further know the Lord. And so it is with you and I. If we're believers, then we should be also having a faith that is flourishing. And we should be having a faith that is alive and that is focused. It's focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So let's move on now by highlighting the word hearing. Our text says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, back in mid-December, I began to sense that my hearing wasn't quite up to snuff. And it seemed like I was constantly feeling like I needed to open my left ear, you know, sort of like when you're flying sometimes and the air pressure is changing or whatever. Or I guess those of you that are swimmers may develop a phenomenon called swimmer's ear as well. But anyway, I wasn't on an airplane and I wasn't swimming, so I thought there may be something else amiss. So the doctor not only cleaned out my ears, but when I finally got to see him, but he prescribed an antibiotic eardrop. There was a bit of inflammation that was actually affecting my hearing. Now, what affects or complicates our spiritual hearing? Have you ever thought about that? We read about this at one point in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. One thing that affects our hearing is hearts that are dull. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. The disciples came and said to him, that's to Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. Now notice this, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. The hearts of this people have grown dull. Their eyes are hard of, their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. And then he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Well, some people may be Christians, or they have made a profession of faith in Christ, but they don't have a vibrant faith. Why? Because their hearts have grown dull. Now, the message paraphrase for verse 15 reads like this. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they don't have to hear. In order to have a vibrant faith, we need to hear the word of God. So then, what affects or complicates our spiritual hearing? Or what hinders our faith from flourishing? Well, a second thing is not acting on what we hear. Now, I want to go back to that passage that we were introduced to in the children's lesson this morning, James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. James 1, 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Notice the implanted word there. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So did any of you look in the mirror before you left the house this morning? I should probably say, did anybody not look in the mirror before you left the house? Or did you look in the mirror when you came here? Did you see anything that needed attention? Did you happen to see any strawberry jam or egg yolk on your face? Or perhaps you thought your hair was out of place? Or did you happen to notice that on that new sweater the price tag was still on there? When you looked in the mirror, that would never happen, right? Did you take any action after you looked in the mirror? Or did you just go your merry way then? And that's what James was talking about here in the scripture that I just read. If we hear the word of God, but don't act on it, but don't implement it into our lives, then it doesn't do us any good. On the other hand, if we act on God's word, we're going to flourish in the faith. According to verse 25, he who is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word or the work, his one will be blessed in what he does. He'll be blessed in what he does. So. Now, on one occasion, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake, for it was founded on the rock." You go past the Swope Place or went past the Swope Place in recent weeks, you saw they were laying a good foundation. It was bit by bit getting that prepared for that new building, which is going up so nicely now. What is the result of hearing and responding to the Word of God? Well, a person develops a solid foundation for living. A person is blessed. A person is flourishing in the faith. So let's move on now by highlighting the phrase, the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God. When we bought our first house in Coshocton, the kitchen was wallpapered. Let's see, what was it? White background with blue fruit on it. Yeah. Diane's still turning up her nose at that. I just saw that. We thought actually it could use a little updating, and so wallpaper. I had never really done much with wallpaper, so how do I do this? It just so happened that at the time, the Coshocton Lumber Company was offering a clinic to their customers, or would-to-be customers, on how to hang wallpaper. You know, you do the double cutting, you do the this and all that, and the tools you need and how you do it. And it made an incredible difference. I was able to work with the situation. And these days, a person can do an internet search on practically anything they want to get a little information on. How you can get a how to do this video just amazes me. On practically anything on YouTube. Now, while those things may be helpful with practical matters, there's nothing, though, that is going to replace the Word of God when it comes to spiritual matters. Nothing. As it's put in Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." It's not going to change. Now, while in Psalm 119, let's also note that God's word gives us understanding of spiritual realities. You know, a person may be well educated in whatever kind of, or trained in whatever kind of field that they are working in, may have all sorts of technical expertise in that regard, and yet miss out on the things that are of eternal significance. So in verse 104, the psalmist declared, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Going right along with that, God's word gives us guidance. You know, there's a lot of confusion. There is a lot of confusion in our culture these days. And so you have many people doing what feels good, or what looks good, or what seems good to them. But the psalmist gave this testimony in verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We need the guidance and the direction the scripture provides. So in verse 133, the psalmist prayed, "Direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me." So if we don't allow the word of God to shape us, then we're going to end up being off kilter. Off kilter. If we don't make decisions that are based on the scriptures, then our values and our ethics and our morals are going to not reflect the character of Christ, but they're going to reflect simply an unregenerate culture or world around us. As someone once put it, either the Bible will keep us from sin, or else sin will keep us from the Bible. It's an interesting point. I don't know who came up with that statement, but From a positive standpoint, though, what will cause faith to develop and to flourish in one's life? And I say develop because, as you know, we hear testimonies of distraught people picking up God's word, going back to the Gideon ministry again. So we hear testimonies of a person that is on the verge of doing something, trying to check out of everything. So they're in a hotel room, and they note that Bible. They're drawn to it, well, actually drawn to it by the Holy Spirit, but they open it, and something grabs their attention. There's a passage of Scripture that grips them, and faith is activated through that encounter with Christ. Their lives take on a new direction. Or we hear testimonies of people behind prison bars reading Scripture verses and becoming new believers. It's out on our bulletin board right now, the year-end report from Gospel Echoes Prison Ministry, which we help to support. And did you know that one of the things that the team hands out to prisoners is actually an address book? It's a little red address book. It's one of the things that the prisoners are allowed to have. And they love having it, not just for the contact information that they can have then in there. But in those address books, there are scripture verses printed. And what is happening is that people make use of that. They begin noting the verse in there. And Gospel Echoes gets reports from prisoners who came to Christ in that fashion. And then they want more, and so they begin requesting the correspondence Bible study lessons through Gospel Echoes. And, what is up? What's up with situations like this? Well, it's simply first-hand reports of faith coming by hearing the word of God. It's simply that. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, "For the word of God is living and powerful And it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirits and of the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So, what about you and I? What is our diet like? Is it just a bunch of junk food? Or do we feed on solid spiritual manna? If we want to have a vibrant faith, then we need to continue to hear the word of God and then to act on that word. Because, yes, faith does come by hearing. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have preserved and kept for us your word. And we thank you for what it has done in our own hearts and minds and lives. May we continue to grow. May we be alive in you. May we indeed have a vibrant faith that is flourishing. And we pray, Lord, for folks even this day and this week who encounter your word, whether in a motel room, whether on an address book in a prison, wherever your word is either proclaimed or read, somehow heard, we pray that you would work so that your kingdom might continue to come and your will continue to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.